Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David saw many people who said all the right things, but he didn't see many people whose lives matched their words. It's the same today. There is nothing new under the sun. You can be orthodox in your theology while your lifestyle is unorthodox and far from God. God tests us to show us what is really in our hearts. Please open your Bible to Psalm 11, verse 6, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this psalm, plus David's plea for help in Psalm 12.
Have you ever prayed, "Lord, I want to be just like you"? Now, you know what they, you know what we think? Okay, you know, we just turn water into wine, and I'll do all of the miracles. We ought to be just like me. You want to be loving like me, Raymond? Oh, yes, Lord, I want to be loving like me. Really? Do you want to be, I want to be forgiving just like you. Oh, you really do? You do? Okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you a little 70 times 7 test. Lord, you are so long-suffering, I want to be like you. Oh, you do want to be like me. Oh, how long-suffering are you towards Joe? Oh, Lord, you are so patient. Oh, yeah? How patient are you with Lou? Watch how you pray. See, the Lord knows what we need, doesn't he? He tries us, and we need to be purged. We need to be cleansed, don't we? We need to be changed from the inside out. He does it with people. He does it with circumstances. He does it with his word. Just picture this. Just picture this. I'm standing here. Jesus is standing there. He has a sharp sword. He points it at me and he says, "Okay, now, Raymond, walk towards me." The same sword that pierces, heals. That penetrates, changes. That's what we need. That's what the church needs. If we are going to be a people, the people of God, in these last days when the foundations are being destroyed, we need the unction of the Holy Spirit inside of us, brothers and sisters, to stand in these evil days. To stand for righteousness, to stand for the very truths of God's word, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. How may God be stretching your faith or trying you tonight? You know, I know. Verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Drinking from the cup in the scripture is, for the most part, a picture of judgment from the Lord. Isn't it interesting how there's been a lot of apocalyptic-like movies lately? God's judgment is not a movie. It's not fantasy. It's not fiction. God has already rained down coals of fire and brimstone in human history when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And just go back and read Genesis 19, a few chapters before that, and see why he rained down fire and brimstone. And by the way, for those who want to symbolize the word of God, that wasn't symbolic fire and brimstone that took place back there, okay? That was not a symbolic flood. When people read the book of Revelation, it says, "Oh, that must be symbolic. Creatures coming out of a pit with the ability to sting and all of that horrific stuff." That's not symbolic. That's going to happen just the way God said it was going to happen. Now, there is symbolism in the book of Revelation and in end times literature, but the judgment of God is going to be just as literal as every other judgment that has taken place in Scripture. And I've said this many times before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. God does not measure time by a calendar. He measures time morally. And when mankind continues to refuse his truth and don't want anything to do with him, a line is drawn. Nations have been destroyed. Our nation is under judgment right now. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't rise up and pray for another revival. That's what I'm praying for. One last revival of mercy before Christ comes again. But if you don't see the judgment signs all around us, then you must be willfully blind. There is going to be a judgment, a literal judgment. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. And as the foundations of our faith are being attacked, beloved, we need to resist the temptation to bail and flee. Because righteousness is not just a position. Righteousness is also an action that you and I are required to take. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light shine. And let your mouth be open to share the truth. His countenance does behold the upright. Psalm 12 is written to the chief musician upon Shimoneth, a psalm of David. Now, in Psalm 11, the foundations of society were shaking. But here, David cried out for help. And here's the reason why. Because the godly remnant of faithful believers was getting smaller and smaller. And that again is a picture of what will happen in the end times. Remember in Luke chapter 18, Jesus says, "When he returns, will he find faith on the earth?" Isn't it interesting? When he returns, will he find biblical faith on earth? Now, sadly, that doesn't sound like a great revival. How many people were in the ark when God judged? How many? Eight? Eight. That's not a huge church. And I think it serves us well as born-again believers that when we read the hard scriptures, the difficult scriptures, that we don't pass over them as if, well, that applies to someone else. No, no. There's something in there for us, too. There's something in there for us. And so here's David. Now, the godly remnant is getting smaller and smaller, and he says in Psalm 12, "Help." How many times has your prayer been, well, he says, "Help, Lord." How many times has that been your prayer? "Help, Lord." From the most often used illustration of pastors, when you're driving on the thruway and you're stuck in traffic, that's not a real test, is it? You know. But I mean, when things just seem to be going from bad to worse, and you don't know what's up or down, like in the days of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he gets an email. "Hey, you know, you're surrounded by a whole bunch of bad guys that want to do you in." And Jehoshaphat called the nation together, goes, "Hey, we're going to have a fast. We're going to have a worship service." And then here was his prayer. Here's the leader. "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Thanks." But that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. When the outlook is gloom, always try the uplook. It always looks better. So he says, "Help, Lord." The word "help" means save, deliver, defend. Notice, "For the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Now, when we think of faithfulness, pardon me, we tend to think of maintaining sound doctrine and remaining faithful to the truth. And that is true. The Bible does tell us that we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's what we have to contend for. The faith that was once delivered. The faith as it is written in the Word of God. Exactly as it is written. Amen? Not the faith, not even necessarily the traditions that we've been handed down. But this Word, this faith, exactly as it is written. God doesn't change. You know, I've given you this illustration a few times. You know how handy I am. Okay, laugh, right? I'm not handy at all. My wife is handy. But every once in a while, I do want to try something. Change a light bulb or do something with a power tool. And I heard a story once of a church, and the pastor was about as good with power tools as I was. And this guy, this pastor, just wanted to do something to help build this new youth center. And so the contractor says, okay, here's what you're going to do. I want you to cut 58-foot 2x4s and have them ready for me tomorrow morning. So, you know what he does? He measures the first one, 8 foot. He cuts it. Then he takes the one that he cut, and he, instead of measuring, he just used the previous one. And you know, by the time he got to the 50th 2x4, it wasn't 8 feet. You know what happens? You and I have a tendency to pass down the interpretations of the Bible or what people have concluded. And sometimes I believe we're passed on an inferior gospel with no power, no Holy Spirit, no boldness, because that was what was set before us. The original 2x4 is right here. Right here. Just as it's written. Don't water it down. Don't compromise it. Faithful to contend for the faith. But the faithfulness in this context refers to the kind of faithful living that pleases God. You and I are called to be faithful. Faithfulness honors the covenant with God by trusting Him and serving Him with all of their heart. Faithfulness honors God in their relationships with others, with loyalty, trustworthiness, integrity, and dependability. And David saw multitudes of people who were saying all of the right things, but he didn't see many whose lives matched their words. And it's the same for us today. There is nothing new under the sun. You realize that it's possible in this day and age where we can have access to Bible knowledge for a person to be very orthodox in their theology while their lifestyle is unorthodox and far from God? Help, Lord. Lord, help us. Help your church. It's interesting that the same Hebrew word as help in verse 1 is the basis for the names Jesus or Yeshua, because He's the help that we need. Lord, we need You. We need You more than ever. Would you agree? The church needs Jesus Christ now more than at any other time. We need You. And now notice, he gives a description of the people that have fallen, that are fallen away from Him. They speak vanity. And the primary meaning of the Hebrew word is deceit, lies, falsehood. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips. In other words, they're smooth talkers. And with a double heart that they speak. As David looked at society around him, every segment of Israel's society was deceitful. The fabric of society was being torn apart because there is death and destruction in the power of the tongue. And the same holds true today. If you ever really want to get confused over what's happening in the world, just turn on, you know, major news networks. I'm just going to put it out. Watch CNN for 15 minutes, MSNBC for 15 minutes, Fox News for 15 minutes, and then pick another one for 15 minutes. You wonder, are they all talking about the same thing? You ever listen to these politicians give their speeches? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Deceit. Empty promises all around us. David knew that he was living in a society that was controlled by deception. You know why? Because fallen society is governed by the god of this world. And it wasn't that only a few people were telling lies. Deception was a major characteristic of the whole generation. He mentions flattery. You know what flattery is? It's verbal manipulation. And people use flattery to influence people in order to exploit them. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear so that I can get whatever I want from you. J. Vernon McGee said this, as a church, nothing will destroy our relationship more quickly than lies. When Christians are dishonest with each other, they tear apart the body of Christ. Deceit breeds distrust. Distrust leads to division. This is why the scriptures clearly say, wherefore put away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The Bible says a lot about words. Just read the book of Proverbs. The Bible tells us that what our lips say is a barometer of what is in our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. David says that another characteristic of those that are falling away is that they have a double heart. A double-hearted person is a person that is thinking two things at the same time. You don't think it's possible. Oh, yes, it is. And the two things are what he wants and what he needs to say to get what he wants. In other words, truth takes a back seat to selfishness. A double heart is the opposite of a person with a perfect heart. A perfect heart doesn't mean sinless perfection. It means a perfect heart is a heart that is loyal to God, loyal to his truth. I love Psalm 86:11. What a prayer for you, for me. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. That's what we need. Lord, unite our hearts to fear your name. Teach us, Lord, your way, and I will walk in your truth. You know, David was surrounded by men that were in debt, they were distressed, and they were discouraged. The three D's. What a congregation, right? But you know one thing about these men? 1 Chronicles 12:23, they were mighty men in battle because they were not of a double heart. They knew that they were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing was going to change that. Notice what David says. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Flattering lips. The scripture talks about the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Psalm 78 verses 36 and 37 talks about how the people of God flattered God with their lips, but their heart was not right with him. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 19 says this: he that goes about as a talebearer reveals confidences. Therefore meddle not with him that flatters with his lips. The Lord will cut off all the flattering lips. He'll cut off the tongues that speak proud things, boastful things. And notice, they've said with their tongue in verse 4, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. In other words, my lips are my own. I can speak just as I please. They have that attitude because they say, who is Lord over us? Well, it's obviously not Jesus Christ. This may seem like a harsh prayer until you stop to think about the destruction that liars and deceivers do with their tongues. But let me say this. As a rule of thumb, for myself, it's always sinful and arrogant to apply scriptures like this to everyone else without looking in my own heart. Truth be told, our own lips have sometimes been deceitful. Our own lips have sometimes used flattery. And we all deserve to be judged for our words. And if we're honest, we know that we have hurt and deceived others with our tongues. We all have. But there is only one man who's never flattered or boasted. Only one man who was never deceived in the slightest. And that's Jesus Christ, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And the good news is that the good news of the gospel is that although you and I should be condemned for our words, our sins can be forgiven, wiped away, and we can be credited with his sinless mouth and his spotless obedience. But we should never take that or interpret that to mean, oh, okay, now that I'm cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, I can just say whatever I want, whenever I want, regardless what, because after all, I'm Italian. Italians get hot-headed. No. We're all under new management, right? And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, he calls you into human resources and says, Raymond, come here. We need to have a conversation. You didn't need, that attitude was wrong. Those words were wrong. What you said was wrong. It was unnecessary. But notice how God, all the way through Scripture, he defends the lowly. He defends those that are indefensible. He says, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffs at him. Oh, praise God for that. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. David compares God's word to silver refined in a crucible, not four times, but seven times. In other words, not the slightest impurity will remain. The silver is ultra pure, ultra precious. In other words, that's a picture of the priceless perfection of God's word. You and I refer to that as the inerrancy, biblical inerrancy. It describes the purity and the truthfulness of God's word. And as the word suggests, inerrancy means that the scriptures are without error in all that they affirm. In other words, you and I can speak God's truth with complete confidence because all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And whatever the Bible says about history, whatever the Bible says about geography, whatever the Bible says about archaeology, whatever the Bible says about science, it is the absolute final word of truth. People are debating over creation and all of this. And, well, what's your view, Pastor Ray? Well, my view means nothing. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did it in 7 days. 6 days. The seventh day, he rested. He did it. Well, what did he do? He created the heaven and the earth, and he did it in 6 days. Well, what do you mean? He created the heaven and earth, and he did it in 6 days. Well, what do you mean? He created the heaven and the earth, and he did it in 6 days. Okay? And you know why you call a bird, a hippopotamus, an alligator? It's because Adam called him that. Oh, Adam. He was a real man. Right. Okay. Maybe I'm just too simple. I just take him at his word. I don't think he wants to speak some cryptic language to me. The Bible says that God's word is flawless. It can be trusted. Beware of those who, the higher critics. Oh, the higher critics of the Bible. They tell us that it was impossible for Jonah to live in the belly of a great fish. Really? Really? But you know what? Jesus said he did. I'm going to believe the guy that rose from the dead. Okay? I don't care if you have a PhD, a MUD, a THD after your name. I'm going to stick with the guy that rose from the dead. I'm going to stick with the guy that turns water into wine. I'm going to stick with the guy that walks on water. I'm going to stick with the guy that says, hey, rent a tomb for me because in 3 days I'm coming out of there. I'm sticking with him. I don't care what they say. Don't tell me that there's a third gender. You're a male or a female. How do you know? You really, what, really want me to get biological here? How did I know? Well, when my kids were born, check the parts. God's word is true. You know, when I first got saved, an older guy came up to me. He says, Raymond, he says, just believe the word of God and let science and education catch up later. The best counsel that we need is in the word of God. The wisdom that we need is in the word of God. The counsel, everything we need, it's in the word of God. Just take him at his word. God says he would hasten to his word to perform it. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted, and nothing has changed since David's time. The wicked are still prowling as they were then. If anything, I believe that the situation today is worse. And not only are the godly still a small remnant, but depravity of both speech and behavior is unparalleled like never before. Romans chapter 1, what we see in our society, unrighteousness, fornication, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, inside and outside of the womb, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering, backbiting, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, loss of affection, loss of natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's the DNA of God of our society. And it's sad when the things that God condemns in Scripture are now a means of universal entertainment. And then the entertainment industry gives awards to the people who produce those things. And sad to say, Romans 1:32 says that when you know the judgment of God, that they which commit some things are worthy of death, it's not, they're not only going to be judged, but those who have pleasure in them to do it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.